The Gnostic followers of Valentinus extrapolated the concept of telogeny into the spiritual domain, understanding as they did that spirit and matter are one, and thus what happens in the spiritual crystallizes in the physical, and the physical manifestation of spiritual reality is simply a shadow of the light of the reality, though within its domain nonetheless real. In the Gospel of Philip, purporting to be amongst the Nag Hammadi texts, this concept is presented: whomever the woman loves, to him those who are born are like. If her husband, they are like her husband; if an adulterer, they are like the adulterer. Often when a woman sleeps with her husband, but while her heart is with the adulterer with whom she is accustomed to unite, she bears the one whom she bears, so that he is like the adulterer. It is not physical transmission alone that determines the relative purity or contamination of the female and her offspring. The very thoughts or egregores her mind is receptive to has a contaminating influence, and thus to expose her consciousness to the entertainment or information derived from other sources, from sources of a foreign nature, implants her consciousness with that same foreignness and renders her susceptible and all of those she influences to contamination. The spiritual contamination of the Aryan race applies equally to males as to females, and comes by way of cultural media, which is the vector through which these egregores are transmitted as seed ideas that are seeded into the consciousness of whites, wreaking havoc and leading them along broad and winding paths away from the light of truth. Falling into error through partaking of to all appearances harmless media, the Aryan race is led to the current state of its crisis, living amidst a flood tide of mud and blood in the sewer of the nations their once pure homes have become. The Christian religion especially has served as a transmitter of corruption and contamination, and this since his formation under the Council of Nicaea, formulated in the beginning to serve as a crucible of mongrelization, boiling down all into the melted pot on the basis of the false principle that all men are brothers in Christ. To affiliate oneself with the other, the foreign non-white, though under the alleged auspices of churchianity, under the same roof of the church and partaking of the same body of Christ and blood of the Lamb, is to subject oneself to the contamination of the soul as well as that of the body. The diverse and conflictual auras of the churchgoers creates a Volk chaos, as Hitler called it, a jarring and cacophonous mixture of incompatible types which is unsustainable in any harmonious way. The examples of the integration of the races in South Africa and the southern states serve as exemplary cases of what occurs to whites when subject to such influences. The presence of non-whites in any degree of numbers amounting to firstly a spiritual chaos, and subsequently as its shadow reflection the physical chaos of race riots, mass rapine and generalized mayhem. Theodore Bilbo's book Take Your Choice, Separation or Mongrelization, well illustrates the consequences of multicultural society in its title alone. Brazil is a result of mongrelization with slight segregation, the southern states of America to a lesser extent, and to the greatest extent such places as the Near East and India, truly chaotic areas of the earth which embody the Volk chaos that had its origin not in interspecies conflict or lust alone, but and perhaps moreover in the egregores of egalitarian ideologies such as Vaishnavism and Christianity. The Volk Geist or culture organism of the Aryan must remain in segregation in its own area of the earth in order to preserve itself. Perhaps it is undesirable for certain groups to so preserve themselves. So be it. The desirability or undesirability of the continuance of the other is not necessarily relevant to the survival of one's own, save in subjugating them as a threat or unifying with them as an ally for mutual self-interest. The talk of peace and love through a promiscuous mingling of diverse types into a pseudo-diverse mixture is simply a naive and childish fantasy wholly unrealizable. Hence the focus must be on one's own kind, and to ensure that any contamination of foreign thought forms, auras, DNA is avoided and indeed subject to a decontamination. This will be discussed later after the subject of microchimerism is touched upon, a phenomenon acknowledged though not widely publicized by mainstream science. Microchimerism, also known as fetal-maternal microchimerism or fetal cell microchimerism, and is a phenomenon whereby cells from a fetus pass through the placenta and establish cell lineages with the mother. Such cells have been documented to persist and multiply in the mother for several decades. It is a common occurrence after abortions or miscarriages, meaning that the children subsequently carried to term are the living dead and thus are hybrid contaminants, literal embodiments of Volk chaos, perverse combinations of different fathers. Hence it is indeed possible to have more than one father by this process, and one might conjecture that promiscuous females who have absorbed the genetico-spiritual substance of myriad men into themselves create homunculi through this viviparous alchemy, creating a Frankenstein's monster of diverse and incompatible parts and likely at the level of the soul of the being. Such abominations are also likely to play host to entities owing to the lack of inner integrity of their soul. This explains a tendency of hybrids to behave chaotically, as the figures of most all revolutionary leaders bears witness to. It is too late to attempt to put Pandora's pestilence back into its box, and how to ride the tiger of modernity will be discussed later. There are many hybrids in the world today, and the examples of France and negrified America are testaments to the hubris of the white man who assumed they could control the mud flood and not become contaminated through swimming in it. Another instance of microchimerism occurs in the case of blood transfusions. This should be an obvious fact, but most, being overly materialistic, fail to understand that to contaminate the blood with that of another is to modify the very being of the person. The Jews partake of this in reverse, vampirizing the blood of the relatively pure Aryan, taking into themselves their blood via interbreeding and also via direct consumption from blood banks and ritual murder sacrifice. To inject the life of another is to inject a foreign soul into oneself, and thus to destroy that soul's blueprint, creating a Frankenstein's monster of the person. This fits in with the transhumanist agenda of the MORG and facilitates the destruction and defilement of the relatively pure Aryan, creating a being which is fragmented at a soul level. Perhaps this fragmentation process also enables possession by entities owing to a disintegration of the soul, opening up fissures in the wall of the soul of the Aryan, transforming them into ZOMBIES. The microchimerism effect is undoubtedly something known by Jewry, who serve their prince of darkness in defiling and tearing down the naive and higher-minded Aryan. Now the writer will treat of solutions to the problem of genetico-spiritual contamination. The blood poisoning inflicted upon the Aryan by Jewry and their hordes of beastmen has thus been a consistent tactic of usurpation of the Aryan societies. Intermarriage and corruption via lusting after foreign flesh has been the downfall of the pure, leading to the contamination of the blood. However, it is the initial spiritual contamination of the blood memory, the contamination of the mind, that leads to its physical expression. The Minizanger or blood memory of the Aryan is the source of his power. His blood memory is dependent upon the purity of the blood, and to defile the purity of his blood is to erase the memory of his origins and his attachment to the higher forces which enable him to perpetuate his life. This is the primary source of his downgoing. The egregores and thought forms introduced into his consciousness by Jewry and their affiliates are designed to cloud the blood memory, the ability of the Aryan to identify with the gods, and this in the most literal, ontological sense of spiritual connection. To sever the spiritual connection is to render the physical being impotent, and to render the physical being impotent is to neutralize or subjugate him as a resistant force. Hence the solution is to reactivate the blood memory, to transmute oneself into a Minizanger. To do so entails a path to traverse which requires both a positive and negative stance, negating the negation of foreign thought forms in the latter case, and in the former affirming the affirmative of authentic Aryan culture and relations. The affirmation of difference is a positive active reawakening the blood memory. To expose oneself to and to relate exclusively to they who are of one's own kind, and to minimize to the extent possible relations with the foreign other. As Ben Klassen said, phase out all dealings with muds and Jews, and this is the general principle which encapsulates the negative phase of the rekindling of the blood memory, and indeed the black flame of the black sun. Disconnect oneself from all foreign thought forms or egregores. Of course this is nigh impossible should one wish to engage in action in this world, the world of the ZOMBIS. Of the MORG, that is, if one exposes oneself to the foreign in a fallen sense of immersing oneself in it and not maintain a distance from it, if only inwardly, in mente, as an act of being in the world, not of the world. The term which might apply here is xenoagnosia, or not knowing the foreign. A simple inward segregation from the foreign, and this to the extent possible should one not have the option of a physical disengagement. Perhaps to physically engage in the other in terms of being proximal to them and partaking of their culture like any drug, could be transmuted into medicine used to strengthen oneself, and rather than reacting to the foreign, one could relate to it as a challenge to transcend and to use as a phenomenon through which to strengthen oneself in his adherence to his own culture and to recognize his own authentic identity. Other positive suggestions may entail, should one have the means, a self-segregation from the mixed multitude, either through the formation of a parallel society outside of the chaos of the urban cloaca gentium, or through the creation of certain defensible spaces within this locus, a separate suburb, a separate dwelling, an inner sanctum of retreat, or if not retreat per se, a place in which to recuperate one's powers and to muster his forces to bring against the foe in subsequent and ongoing insurgency, insurgency of a cultural or other form. Should one have the option to live a somewhat normal life in the traditional sense, the work SS Mate Selection Guidelines and other related Third Reich documents are available as guides to follow a eugenical path in the recovery of the blood memory and a perpetuation of one's own kind. Everything begins first in the spiritual planes, and thus one must clean one's own house first, of all contamination in a personal self-transmutation. The Negredo phase of eliminating foreign egregores and images, sounds and practices which instill and maintain them must be begun at once, simultaneous to the albedo phase of surrounding oneself with authentically Aryan thought forms and their sources, books and writings of the philosophers and esotericists of the Aryan race, the music of one's ancestors, the art and all related lifestyle practices. This in no way entails an unthinking immersion in the culture of inauthenticity that usurped and perverted the authentic tradition, namely Christianity and its Jewish egregores. Anything Christian simply leads to the cloaca gentium of today in its pathos and emotional insanity, its neuroticism and fanatical bigotry, all markers of the Near Eastern despot and religious zealot, not those of the Aryan. Rather, the path of Cinnabar, the title of a book by Julius A. Voller, is the only path to follow in order to transmute oneself from the white race of a purely physical biological, Western kind into the red race of the spiritually developed adept of the God-man of Hyperborea. In Tartung, the modern world is a demiurgic system which operates as a violation of the harmony of existence and leads to the degeneration of the Aryan race. It is a prison matrix, a torture chamber, a death cell in which the white man is placed and subject to slow disintegration by multifarious means, all orchestrated by the cabal as a deliberate attempt at sabotaging those who they seek to destroy and who are their greatest enemy. This is not by their own choosing, but by the selection of the black magicians of Zion, who has selected them for extermination as the greatest obstacle toward the realization of their plans and the greatest object of jealousy, as being pure and being derived from the gods. They, the Aryan race, are the light which outshines the false light of the demiurge. The forms of degeneracy that are discussed in the following are practices, processes, substances and lifestyles, all designed for that sinister purpose on the part of Jewry as a gradualistic means of eroding the health, wealth and power of Aryan mankind. Though the following are divided into arbitrary categories to make the impact of these processes, etc. more intelligible, these processes, etc. all are interrelated across these categories and have simultaneous effects upon the mind-body-soul complex of the Aryan and indeed of all those who are considered to be Goyim. Though many of the Jews are harmed by these processes themselves, the leadership of Jewry acknowledges the necessary sacrifice of same, indeed many, of their own as a means toward the realization of their ends, as it is the global dominion of Jewry which is sought by their leadership, not the comfort and pleasure of all, and owing to their beliefs in reincarnation, their reasoning follows the lines of, regardless of the suffering of contemporary Jewry, as long as they, the Jews, can eliminate the white population, they will be able to reincarnate in a Jewish body, and as long as a sufficient number of Jews continue, regardless of the losses to themselves, this is considered a victory over their enemies and for themselves, indeed for the absolute supreme being. Hence, though the nets are cast wide and pull in many of the Jewish community along with a larger amount of non-Jews, the ends justify the means in the reckoning of the cabal. The Jewish leadership, by the top-down structure of the Kehillah, transmits the information to those at lower levels and to the extent they deem necessary as means of giving the Jewish community the edge over the Goyim. Throughout the following, the writer will explain to the best of his knowledge how that edge is given and what specific form it assumes in a given case. Intertung means degeneracy, which in the case of the demiurged disintegration of the white race means the harmful and damaging means of destroying by slow degrees their enemies. The policy of the elders of Zion has always followed this course in their disintegration of their hosts because, 1, they are insufficiently numerous or powerful physically to overcome the white population, and 2, they are bound up with the white population in a relationship of vampirism whereby they absorb the energy of their hosts into themselves and thus require them to live while simultaneously and absurdly seeking their death, or at the least a sadistic desire to injure to the point of recovery their hosts, creating a balance between maintaining a host to parasitize off and destroying that host. A balance which is in reality impossible, as the two motivations are contradictory and thus are self-defeating, which would eventually, should the Cabal be able to obtain their purposes and goals, lead to their own destruction either through destroying their host, destroying themselves and not destroying the host, or the host destroying them. Accordingly, the Black Magician's motivation is absurd and doomed to fail, and it is only through their self-deceit that they continue to persist in their aggressive parasitism, and it is only tolerated by the white population for this same reason of deception: 1, the white population not knowing who or what is being done to them, and 2, being deceived to the extent they know anything that it is caused by some other party, for a cause that requires either siding with or bowing before jury, or not factoring in Jews into the equation at all, and thus enabling Jews to perpetuate their actions against the white population. Hence the modus operandi of jury is deceit, the dissimulation, deception, and this as a means of degenerating the white population. Their policy is dysgenics as opposed to eugenics, the recipe for degeneration of the blood, and by countless means, some of which will be discussed below. The influence and mechanism of action of these processes, practices, actions against the white population will be discussed, as well as the typical response anticipated by jury based upon their keen observation of the white population and historical precedent, and the actual response on the part of the white population. In most cases, the whites have acted predictably according to the Jews' assessment of the likely outcome, and thus the Jews have moved the goalposts of their plan forward by slow degrees according to their serpent strategy of gradualism: 2 steps forward, 1 step back. The first category of Intertung or degeneration that Jews have introduced into white culture, and that they have viewed correctly as instrumental in the destruction of their host, will be the psycho-spiritual, as this is the means through which they have been able to have the greatest deleterious influence on the white population. The psycho-spiritual influence is the black magic of jury, who employ this black magic as a means of exerting mental influence over their host and manipulating their behavior so that it is serviceable to themselves and harmful to their enemy. The invocation of demons or entities with whom jury works, what they presumably call quotes angels, and the deployment of these beings as means of possessing and controlling or influencing the whites. Demonic possession can readily be seen in the zombie-like features of those who frequent the Judeo-Christian churches of today, and it is a fair assumption that those buildings are hives of these entities who have been invoked in these particular loci so that they can enslave the parishioners. The Kabbalistic rituals encoded in the Bible are almost certainly the formulae used to open up dimensional portals to enable these beings to manifest in the physical plane and exist within that region. All churches being of a certain architectural form, it is inferable that their architecture serves the metaphysical purpose of binding those entities to the earth and to those who are the intended slaves of jury, the zealous adherents of their religion, i.e. of their mind program of Judeo-Christianity. The more intense the devotion to the scriptures and the more extensive the presence on the part of the parishioner in that locus of black magic, the more tightly bound the entity to themselves. The architectural structure of the churches are characteristically cubic or square-shaped, and this is the perfect form for trapping energy within itself, and the steeple, having the shape of a cone, being a transmitter of that energy toward those entities or whatever destination of that energy off-planet, renders the point the source through which energy is directed from the base of the cone, and the direction being skyward implies some off-planet or other dimensional destination of that energy. Hence all of the savages' energies are drawn from them, released into the ether, and then vampirized by whatever entities jury is bound up with, and thus empowering jury with the energies of the Christian slave class, who enters into a downward spiral of possession and vampirization, having their life force drained from them over time and intensity of its release. Thus the slave program of Judeo-Christianity is foremost in the processes of degeneration that Jewry imposes upon their zealots. The binding of the Goyim via the thought forms of Judeo-Christianity, the quotes scriptural unquotes terms and words, names, etc. are all formulated for the purpose of mind control, demonic possession and soul vampirization. The psycho-spiritual influence bleeds over into the New Age philosophies and religions, which are themselves formulated by the Cabal for the same purpose, though not as effective perhaps, as there is not as much thought energy involved, and thus they are not as powerful as the Christian program which had been going forward for the past 2 millennia. In all cases of Jewish takeover of white society, it is the slave program of psycho-spiritual mind control of Jewry which is the main mechanism of control over the population, as the strongest influence over the very principle of the being. The subsequent formulae of Jewish mind control, such as the New Age philosophies, are still largely tied into the veneration of savior figures and gurus to whom one must devote oneself exclusively, to give oneself over to a fictional character in large part, or an actual Jewish guru who involves himself in the black magic of mind control as means of ensnaring his followers. This is more an overt and obvious example of the psycho-spiritual influence of the black magicians. The subterranean strategy of Jewry, however, works in many cases, especially in those of today, in a more guileful and subtle manner. The hypnosis machines deployed as weapons of warfare by Jewry, called T-versus and their forebears, movie theaters and more contemporaneously computers and computerized cell phones, are means of spellbinding the Goyim. The flicker rate of these machines and the electromagnetic influence they transmit are all a means of enslaving and manipulating the consciousness of the Goyim and implanting subliminal messages into their consciousness, and indeed beyond this, restructuring their conscious mind through the transmission of electromagnetic fields, rendering captive the souls of those who expose themselves to these media transmitting machines. Thus, as with Christ insanity, the mind becomes the program that is engineered by Jewry, an ensemble of thoughts and emotions which translate in real life into action and which serve the purposes of Jewry, by this, consume that, kill whitey kill and other programs. The insidiousness of the psycho-spiritual programming which pervades all media under Cardumbia is such that it is not the content alone that is the programming, but the form itself, the structure of the churches, the cadence and rhythm of the music and the choir, the sensations and emotions work up through the establishment of certain energetic states that pervade the atmosphere and modify the conscious mind. The engineers of this mind control are not only employing technical apparatuses and hardware, but working with and presumably under the influence of demonic entities who all work to achieve the enslavement and vampirization of the population's energy as means of empowering themselves. Indeed, there are no sources of information not pervaded with this programming, from the language spoken and its form of writing, to the colors and images and symbols in magazines and etc., to the very texture and scent of the pages of magazines and the vibrational effect of movies. Psycho-spiritual mind control and programming is inherent in the semantic content of all works of fiction and alleged facts, those works which are represented as scholarly and in reality objectionable in relation to truth, actual fact and brackets. All of these works scribed by the Jewish scribes and Pharisees and their subordinate minions in Cardumbia and the masses media, are scribed according to a standardized template that is adhered to by the mob of controllers, the entire cabal, and which entails top-down prescriptions, demands, obligatory forms of style and content that must be carried forward by the loyal minions. Thus, anything one reads, nearly without exception, for at the very least historical exceptions exist, and those existing on the margins of society, those deemed taboo, such as the words you are reading now, and brackets, is a vector of mind control programming, mind control, world control. The two-tier society of slaves and masters has no place for exceptions. This is why it standardizes the hive mind of the Goyim through such means as information bombardment of a certain quality, quantity and modality, to structure the wax soft minds of the Goyim into the mold desired. The desired mold or product of this standardization process is that of the optimist pacifist, the happy and powerless slave whose happiness is bound up with their comparative simplicity and superficiality, their otherwise natural aggression being channeled toward hostility toward the marginalized quotes other, he who does not fit into the paradigm of the kosher slave. Even the masters, when they are forced to make a public appearance, masquerade as happy slaves themselves, even more humble than the most humble. Of course, once they have attained total power and have no longer any checks and balances, they can make a more forceful show of their despotic power, always, however, a power of the benign nature which is held only for God or the people, as a shepherd king shepherding the flock along the straight and narrow path. The false claimants of these priests of the order of Melchizedek hold soft power, and even in the case of a Stalin have their iron fists sheathed in the kid gloves of Masonic secrecy and Oriental deceptiveness. Thus they rule over the mind, and in doing so neutralize any potential subversive thoughts that may be conducive to their overthrow or loss of power. The cell towers and satellites which modified the electromagnetic spectrum from the ether and thereby the mind of the Goyim, which in conjunction with myriad other dysgenic modes of action such as chemtrails, graphene oxide in the food and water supply, a weakening of the bodies and souls of the Goyim as means of more effectively manipulating their consciousness and thereby of controlling them. ELF is blasted into the minds of the populace to condition their minds to operate on a certain frequency. In church the frequency is elevated to increase the happy vibes of the slaves and to render them more receptive to demonic possession and the vampirization of their soul energy by the astral parasites with whom jury works as means of empowering themselves and enslaving the world under their dominion. In the school system, ELF is used to render the mind docile and in a state of hypnosis such that the students, slaves of the future, are conditioned to follow the path to their exploitation and perdition as the inevitable outcome of their slavish lives of subordination to jury. The reaction on the part of the whites toward the slave programming has been in many cases an intense rejection of that process of mind control, and accordingly has assisted in tearing down to a degree the barbed wire fence, cutting holes in it to enable some to escape the slave plantation and to assist others to do the same. Thus far opposition to the spiritual mind control, the psycho-spiritual influence of mind manipulation has come in the form of spiritual practices and their introduction through clandestine means against great odds, such as being hunted down and burned at the stake or tortured to death in medieval dungeons by ghoulish priest-caste black magicians, Jews and Christians alike. The means through which jury diminishes the reaction on the part of the Goyim is to render them decadent and lead them to the slaughter through creating spiritual blindness, in other words sowing the seeds of destruction in the form of a tellurization of consciousness, rendering it grossly materialistic. Alternatively, jury creates a perversion and distortion of the ancestral culture and rites of the area and intermingles their poison into the otherwise pure draft of Aryan spirituality which pre-existed the defilement that was the Jewish admixture. This two-pronged approach of degenerating Aryan spirituality is the principal form of degeneration that jury perpetuates, introducing it as a means of subversion, of either hijacking and or destroying Aryan mankind. In tandem with more overtly psycho-spiritual means of degeneration march the legions of physico-chemical means of subversion of the Aryan and of Aryan society. The countless and innumerable nostrums and medicaments deployed as weapons of warfare against the Aryan race by jury and their minions all have an influence in degenerating spirituality, rendering opaque and hazy the otherwise lucid mind of the Aryan, at least as a longer-term consequence with habitual usage. The deployment of speed or amphetamines or other forms of ergogenic psychostimulative nostrums by jury have as a necessary consequence the overall breakdown of the mind via sympathetic nervous system burnout, and though for an acute period they may be conducive to enhancing the clarity of mind, at least at some level they are overall degenerative, creating a chaotic increase of sympathetic nervous system activity and thus a destabilization of the conscious mind and a consequent diminution of clarity of consciousness. The precedents are also an artificial suppression of the conscious mind and reduce clarity of vision, of perception, to a hypo-normal level, even hypo within the context of the slave matrix of dumbed-down subconsciousness. Whether at a hyper or hypo level of consciousness, The nostrums administered are causal agents in the breakdown and deterioration of the mind, which is the goal of Jewry. The purpose of research and development of these formulative black magic poison pills is to disrupt the equilibrium of the soul by way of the root of disrupting the equilibrium of the body with which it is bound. Whatever specific formula of physico-chemical nostrum that is administered, the intended result is the same, though always via a subtly different route, so that the damage is greater and more overall harm to the person is a result. Of course, multiple nostrums can be administered simultaneously with the same mechanism of action, and the result would simply be a more forceful and immediate damage. The poisoners are subtle in most cases, as that is their strategy to escape the poisoning of a large population who could overthrow them should they ever discover what is being done to them. Hence the usage of subtle poisons administered over time, such as the fluoridation or chlorination of the water supply, or the addition of various substances to foods which have a homeostatically disorganizing effect, so that that damage may accumulate over the long term. Whether it be street illegal drugs or those considered kosher by the cabal, the result is the same: a generalized poisoning of the population under the guise of benefiting the population. The Jewish controlled drug laboratories exist all over the world, which pump out poison to infect the white population. The Jewish slaves who are conscripted to traffic in the nostrums of poison are simply fools who are employed by the Jews and the cabal to transfer their sins onto. Pharmacy and street pharmacy blend imperceptibly together within the context of the slave system, so that whether something is considered legal or illegal has no value in terms of preventing the trafficking of soul-destroying poison, as all of it has the same influence in the end: addiction and destruction of the bodies and souls of others. Though it has become conventionally looked upon as socially acceptable through the mind control programming of Jewry, the consumption of alcoholic beverages, aka liquid soul destroying poison, is one of the staples in the bestialization of the broad masses, rendering their conscious minds unconscious and brutalized to the level of goyim, beasts, as it states in the protocols of the elders of Zion: "Behold the alcoholized animals bemused with drink, it is not for ours to go that route," i.e. the path of destruction of the body and soul. The cheapness of the manufacture of alcohol and the consequent cheapness of its cost serves as the perfect potion to degenerate the poor elements of society and to more effectively work them up into a frenzy to assault and attack anyone who is not so inclined, those they would deem antisocial by virtue of their willingness to participate in either the consumption of the holy water of Christ in sanity or the fire water of alcohol. To ostracize all by portraying all who refuse to partake of either poison as antisocial is the method employed by the cabal to assimilate into itself all who are the slightest bit quotes other in relation to the system. They want all to be one, and hence there is no room for exceptions to that rule, as a rule elevates itself to the level of the law within the totalitarian despotism that is the system. Alcohol and drugs are the foremost wellspring from which flows the blood of the innocent, and is the primary causal factor in degeneration on a purely physical chemical basis, a direct assault on the body and soul of the population. The propaganda mind control of the media conditions the slave class to partake, in addition to the low vibrations of rock music, the poisons of drugs, the last of the unholy trinity corresponding to the unholy ghost sex in its most animalistic form of expression, be that in the form of pornography or in that of variations on the theme of sexual deviance, i.e., pedophilia, faggotry, race mixing, and other perversions undergone to sate the brute lust of the debauchee. These practices are encouraged in all organs of information save most of the mind-controlled churches, thus making these the only publicly available socially acceptable alternative to a lifestyle of depravity but still conducive to enslavement and soul degeneration. The creation of extreme vice amongst the population serves the purposes of the Jews in driving the immoral majority middle caste of trade slaves and producers into the ranks of the churches as the goyim flock, who will then be shed of their wool in the form of taxation and slaughtered by the Jews for their sacrifices once they have expended their labor use value. In terms of the intensity of the soul, the chronic involvement in sympathetic nervous system dominant activity leads directly toward the fragmentation of the soul and its attachment to the material plane as an earthbound soul, becoming bound up with sensu and thus disintegrated in its integrity. A life of sex, drugs and rock and roll is a recipe for soul destruction and vampirization at the hands of the cabal of soul reavers. Up until the present time, the apogee of liberal libertinism, the white sheep of society, have been partaking of their habitual egocentric quest for superiority over each other, over each and all, competing with one another over the barest trifle. Some have followed a nobler path, that of self-cultivation, and accordingly have managed to transcend, to however slight a degree, the baser nature of their peers. All well and good, and yet most, with only the rarest of exceptions, have not managed to transcend the pull of the succubus of liberalized society, a society in which any and everything goes and typically dies, following the path of the lemming off a cliff or assuming the role of the dodo bird waiting around for the vicious savage hunters from the Third World and their Jewish allies. The domestic enemy within that most have been too blind to see and have thus enabled to open wide the gates to the foreign invader for the intended slaughter of the innocent sheep who are innocent in so far as unaware but far from innocent in their degenerate existence. The cultural forms of intertung have all been designed by the white controllers to hook in the goyim and to lead them to their destruction. The imposition of an idealized conception of the multicult is imposed upon the white masses who, being beguiled by the manner in which the foreign ideas and artifacts of culture are portrayed, believe the coal they have been given is a black diamond and eagerly venerate their love objects of Japanese animation. Taoistic practices such as Qigong and Tai Chi, yoga and Indian philosophy, the mysteries of a misrepresented archaic world of Lemurian spirituality, in reality a world of demonology and of bloody rites of sacrifice, cannibalism and torture murder. This the facade or appearance again blinds the masses, and they partake of it as the fly is beguiled by the ornate camouflage of the spider in its web, the incandescent kaleidoscope of colors creating a pleasing illusion of the good, which is then consumed as so much candy but is in reality the sticky strands of the spider's web of the Zion slave matrix. The alleged rainbow reality of the multicult is in reality a muddy thonic Tellurian animalism immersing the white-robed Aryans in the mire of darkest savagery and bestial pursuits. The ultraviolence of the Japanese animation, a cathartic for their own rigid cultural norms, working perfectly well in their own realm for themselves, serves merely to incite violence amongst the gullible and more liberated sheeple of the white race. The apparently benign yogic practices and trance-inducing music of ancient India in the modern context, if practiced outside of the forms of MC yoga in the New Age culture center, in reality leads toward the abyss of demonic possession and obsession and the disintegration of the soul. Likewise, the spiritual practices of China, when taken in a Western aka degenerated modern context and applied to the white race as a collective or individually, are unsuited to the Western bodies of Aryan mankind and may very well serve as vehicles of possession. At the very least, they import into the consciousness of the Aryan foreign and conflictual thought forms which subvert the integrity of the white culture, leading to its degeneration. The degeneration of white culture by the Jewish cultural usurpation has been a deliberate attempt to erase from the minds of the whites a recollection of their heritage, to obfuscate and distort their historical sense, and to impose upon them a false sense of self is the act of a murderer seeking to destroy a people through the act of demoralization, of falsification, of having their identity disfigured by these psychosurgeons of Zion with their numinal scalpels of violence, weapons of degeneration and genocide. The whites had assimilated like a poison into their consciousness the vile slander of Jewry, and, because of their naivety and the Jews' near total effacement of historical truth and its distortion via, 1, textual distortion, 2, concealment or destruction of essential texts, papyri, bas-reliefs, etc., and 3, substitution of fake pseudo-texts or vehicles of truth, i.e. the Bible in place of that of which it was a plagiarism. All of these nefarious machinations are the Jews' technique for tearing down and destroying the white culture, and by virtue of that fact creating a dissonance between their own brand of kosher culture and that of the organically developed white culture. This creates extreme conflict in the soul of the white population and, on this basis, leads to a destruction of the soul and a destruction of the body as a mere afterthought. Those who do not know who they are and how to stand on a foundation properly their own cannot stand at all in the quicksand of the cultural Marxism and cultural antagonism of the enemy, programs of mind control and degeneration. The falsification of history by the Jewish word twisters and semanticist scribes has led the white population to have an overall negative view of itself and to thereby have a reduced willingness to defend itself against the assault of the white race and its intended genocide by the anti-white haters who lived to tear it down and seemingly for no other purpose save their own personal empowerment at its expense. To portray the white race as so many of the Jewish academicians have done as the cancer of the earth and as offering nothing in the way of contribution thereto save violence, slavery and colonialism in an act of genocidal demoralization. The effacement of white cultural achievement by the cabal, their desecration of white history physically and textually and most importantly their mass murder of the spiritual leadership of the white race portraying them as witches and, etc. are all perfect examples of the desecration of white identity which is undergone for demoralization purposes such that any time anyone brings up anything regarding white people in a positive sense they are immediately vilified as haters, terrorists and or mentally ill. The consequence of this is embodied in the phrase "the violence of silence" as a climate of taboo is created around white identity whereby it is considered an act of violence to articulate anything positive about whites and their culture and identity and consequently is an act of violence against whites as a psycho-spiritual basis as a de facto assault against the white race. This is a reason why the cabal has monopolized the information organs of the state and has amputated whatever truth could be gotten out of the and have created tumorous conditions in them such that they have become diseased and are now able to only transmit false and garbled information like a frayed wire transmitting electricity. Those who are discerning enough can pull aside the veil of appearances and thus those can see whatever faint glimmer of truth. Those unfortunately are the small minority which is what the cabal banks upon in its concealment of the facts and its continued subversion of white survival. The old history books, works of truth and wisdom are brought up by Jewish old booksellers who then destroy the historical works and substitute them for the mass-produced trash replacing the old leather-bound volumes of yore and to the point of rendering everything electronic. Meaning it could be effaced in an instant by the controllers who would then be able to impose their new truths or other falsehoods upon all and convince the average person that what is false is true. Anyone not acknowledging it or not going along with it being considered a freak or marginal. Such is the case today when the falsifiers of truth have transformed their illusions into reality in the minds of those who are blind to the truth. Harmful practices follow from this world of illusion wherein none have the truth at best an infinitesimal fraction of the population. This is the means through which the Jew inserts the thin end of the wedge and tears apart the white population through the degenerative process. In addition to the above-mentioned psycho-spiritual and physico-chemical modalities of degeneration-disintegration there are many lifestyle practices which the Jew has introduced into the white population and which serve to harm to the greatest extent possible while being as undetectable to the white population as possible and yielding the greatest profit to the Jew as possible. The taxation of the body and soul by various lifestyle practices such that the person is subject to harm to themselves through this lifestyle practice as a causal means of that harm is the primary motivation of Jewry for introducing that lifestyle practice in the first place. Examples abound but can be seen in the following both simultaneously harmful to whites and profitable to Jews, pornography. This industry is obviously oriented around getting off by virtual means and the illusion system ensures that the customer becomes addicted to the stimulation of the virtual reality illusions in the form of whatever contemporary technology visuals, vibrations, sounds, a veritable kaleidoscope of sensual illusions similar to that portrayed in the movie THX 1188 by George Lucas or Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, a sensory bombardment of soma. The case of excess is writ large in the practice of bodybuilding which is a prime example of the degeneration of spirit into matter and the coarseness of modern degenerate life. The excess stimulation of the sympathetic nervous system by way of exercise is counterbalanced by an excess stimulation of the parasympathetic nervous system an excess of one simply being heaped upon one pan of the scale over and against an excess of the other of gluttony and lethargy the inevitable consequences of a bodybuilding lifestyle. Hence both are excessive and both tear down and destroy the mind and soul, even as the body swells up beyond all natural proportions via excess portions of coarse matter and drug administration. A corollary of this lifestyle practice is athletics, in terms of a superfluous expenditure of energy upon practices having no great value in and of themselves, and pouring out all of one's energies into these largely meaningless endeavors when energy could be invested in more healthful and thus more beneficial pursuits. The demotion of one's mind to the study of a juvenile game and of undergoing constant exertions as a means of playing this game testify to its amounting to a squandering of the life force in a dog chasing its tail, theecolo vitiosa. Yet another lifestyle practice advocated in the due world order at this time is that of video games, a perpetual stimulation of the mind, activating the brain stress axis and pumping out constant dopamine, bombarding the vision and body with sights, sounds and vibrations of stimuli that are overall harmful to oneself, as well as constituting the hook of addiction by which the player becomes a powerless pawn in the game of the cabal, a hypnotized zombie who is placed into a reactive-minded state of existence and thus has his own will subverted by the artificial screen. He becomes screened out and loses consciousness, reduced to a zombified state. This applies equally to exposure to computer screens and to movies, cell phones, etc. The flicker rate of the screen, the radiation generated by the screens, all create a state of deadly organ in the sense of Wilhelm Reich, and this almost certainly has a detrimental effect upon the soul as well as on its material vehicle. Additional harmful practices also have their drug-like effect, and in the most literal sense in the case of drugs and alcohol, lifestyles which are of necessity harmful to the addict. Sexual license in its contemporary form of wanton promiscuity is yet another form of degeneracy, as is the neuroticism of Abrahamic religion and its inhibition of the sexual act, its inducement of neuroses via creating a sense of sin in the engagement of sexual acts. The entire modern world is a world of degeneracy, and the slippery slope is greased with the desire for illusions that are concocted by jury as a means of tearing down and destroying the white population. Their technique is always by invitation only, and the white population are invited to partake of their own self-destruction under the guise of the potential attainment of some desirable goal, the good. The apparent good supersedes the actual in the due world order, and the imitation of the truth, the fake, the simulacra obscures the true object reality. Acting on the basis of this falsehood, the white who has been ensnared in the clutches of the Jews and is led down the slippery slope into the abyss becomes gradually destroyed through a slow process of disintegration of their essence, mind, body and soul. This work has been written in the hopes that the general process of Jewish genocide, a gradualistic process, will be better able to be understood, and that the particular examples will be adequate for the reader to understand this process, though by no means being exhaustive of the degenerative process and its seemingly endless particular forms of assault against the white population and indeed against all sentient life on earth, mineral, vegetable, animal, human and whatever other forms the Jews can subject to destruction and vampiric absorption of their life force. To oppose this process requires not a slavish devotion to an external savior figure, nor of being repetition of passages from some exalted holy quote-unquote text, but rather a willingness to stand on the truth, to investigate, to think independently and to finally act on the basis of recognizing truth, what is and what must be done. What is the Jewish orchestrated and intended genocide of the white race, and what must be done is to oppose it by any and every means. To fail in this duty is to violate one's duty to God and to himself, to live a life of inauthenticity and falsehood within the world of illusion orchestrated by the Jewish puppet masters. Conspirator. There are two types of conspiracy theorist: one, they who have good intentions and a desire to not only know the truth but to assist others through coming to know the truth and to communicate it to others, and two, the ill-intentioned, they who wish to put forth distortions and counterfeit ideas in hopes of deceiving others and keeping them in a state of ignorance. The latter type may be motivated by a perverse desire to dominate others, knowing the truth and wishing to obscure its light from others, or by a desire to keep the slaves on the plantation slaving away to enrich their masters, or both. The realm of conspiratology, if this subject matter may be called such, is more or less evenly divided between these groups: 1, the good intentioned, and 2, the ill-intentioned both as regards the gurus who disseminate the ideas and their arguments and alleged evidence and they who partake of it and who use it according to their own motivation to help themselves, harm or help others or whatever selfish motivation they may have. Thus in attempting to come to an understanding of truth, attempting to wade through the conspiratorial information available in the conventional media, one winds up in most cases following broad and winding paths leading to partial and half-truths, obtaining at best a dim grasp of the light that the posted conspiracists have concealed under their smokescreen and gaslights of illusion. In order to have the full truth as regards available information, one must hone his reasoning skills to a razor's edge. Even in having a superlatively developed rational faculty, he may become snagged on falsehood, and indeed this more than anyone owing to his confining himself within the purely human realm of reason. They who have not allowed conceptual abstractions and human knowledge to cloud their higher mind will possibly be the foremost candidate in guiding themselves out of the Daedalian maze of conspiracy theories. Hence the higher intuition, called intellection by the medieval philosophers, must be one's guide, though this alone is not sufficient a compass for the wise to steer their ship away from the rocks of falsehood. Both reason and intellection is necessary. They who control the information systems have and do so on a continual basis bury their traces under constant misinformation which serve as cover-ups and red herrings with which to conceal their crimes. To develop these faculties, the writer recommends the practice of third eye and void meditation, living a pure life in a relatively quiet place and reading the book A Pragmatic Theory of Fallacy by D.N. Walton. It is openly acknowledged by most that a conspiracy for global government exists, and this has become a commonplace, an open secret. What most fail to understand is that this is all part of the conspiracy itself, a revelation of the method and the imposition thereby of a double bind on the mass consciousness, the conspirators having revealed themselves and given the masses a chance to oppose them. That the mass and whichever of its leaders have not done so adequately in the mind of the conspirators and according to their logic justifies them in ruling over the mass owing to being of a superior power able to get away with their plans with minimal and insufficient opposition. The revelation of the method of their conspiracy is their means of immanentizing the eschaton in the words of Robert Anton Wilson, and externalization of the hierarchy in those of Alice Bailey, at least in process. The publicity of their conspiracy enables them to absorb into themselves greater energy transmitted to them by the subordinate human cattle who live in a state of confusion and uncertainty as to just who is causing an uproar in their personal lives. That the conspirators conceal who specifically they are, at least while they didn't have sufficient power to overcome or suppress any violent uprising on the part of the masses, testifies to their not possessing total control and power. Hence there are all manner of scapegoats and strawmen which are set up by the conspiracy and served up as sacrifices for the broad masses. The conspirator elite even provide them with lighted torches with which to burn their front man if need and desire be, to deflect attention from themselves and onto their sacrificial karmic goat. The conspiracy is thus one of silence in which the conspirators do not reveal themselves and their true light and conceal themselves behind simulacra, counterfeits or false appearances. That which the control system censors and seeks to obstruct people from viewing, communicating about and thus exposing, that which to a high degree of probability one must assume is a hypothetical cause of all power behind the global control system, aka conspiracy. That group which can be easily identified as of a certain visibly identifiable biological group that occupies positions of power in society to a degree disproportionate to their numbers as a segment of the total population. That group which adheres to a biologically racial ideology that conditions them to unify and polarize around their particular tribal group and against others, and indeed to act in an antagonistic way toward others on the basis of their ideology. That group can be said to be the ruling power. For not only is their ideology permitted to exist and to function pragmatically to situate and maintain them in a position of power, but it is that in a dominant position, and that the culture of the society reflects this proves that such a group is in control. Within the context of a society of tradition such as National Socialist Germany, such an ideology and racial group served the nation and created a harmonious state of affairs. Such an ideology need not be antagonistic to other nations and peoples and may in fact be beneficial, though it may be the converse. This depends entirely on the biological group and its ideology. that National Socialism is made illegal in most countries of the current world and that anyone publicly espousing its tenets faces legal prosecution and potential incarceration for inciting racial hatred against Jews would suggest that the censoring society is antagonistic toward this ideology. What convinces an intuitive and rational person that the censoring society is being genuine and its codification of such an ideology as Verbotensprach, illegal to publicly espouse, is the simple fact of demographics. One need only observe they who occupy the heights of power and what laws they invent to support their hegemony and condemn and oppress the power and even existence of others to understand who the controlling power is. The simple fact observable to all who have even the rudiments of knowledge of biological race enables one to conclude who the conspirators are in fact. A clue can be seen in the fact that they are not Germanic or blue-eyed and blonde-haired. Hence it is not Nazis or National Socialists who control society but another particular group. The conspiracy of today is the same which existed millennia ago and this can be inferred from the historical record, that this same group has wormed its way around the earth like the Ouroboros serpent and has entwined the world in its coils, subjecting it to slow strangulation and absorbing into itself the life force of the population in an efficient and effective a manner as possible, absorbing the wealth, ideas, culture and blood of the best of the global population and first and foremost the Aryan race. In order to identify this group, one must simply observe the features of those in power and those historical associations which have become bound up therewith. The simple answer is, Jews are the highest level figure that the average person can observe in positions of power, represented to a greater degree than any other group in relation to their portion of the total population. Race of Jewry. Jewry, who are the biological hybrid of sundry races with a common strain deriving from those forces which control them and which are not visible to the average person. These forces are the reptilian transdimensionals from Alpha Draconis in the Orion constellation and other regions of the galaxy who have genetically engineered Jewry millennia ago to occupy until I come, in preparation for their kingdom of heaven called Zion. Many sources confirm this, though most give only partial truth and must be read carefully between the lines in order to understand the ultimate origin and cause of world unrest. The section Space Invaders in the work Lord of the World presents myriad sources of this kind. This conspiracy, so vast and ancient as to be incredible in the minds of the contemporary masses who look toward the past only in terms of decades and have no acquaintance with the millennial-old history of this world, is of necessity unidentifiable to the. However, with the presentation and adequate spread of specific ideas and evidence throughout the historical record, even the most obtuse can come to identify these conspirators, and this is what they fear: exposure, as it leads to their removal through the appropriate level of reasonable force deployed against them. To straighten out the white man's thinking was the goal of Ben Klassen, founder of the creativity movement and author of the works Nature's Eternal Religion and the White Man's Bible. In these works and others he attempted to clarify the world situation and to awaken the white race to expose and oppose the Jew and all of the anti-white minions of the Jew for the survival, expansion and advancement of the white race and the white race alone. This basic template has served well in accomplishing this goal, and the principle of straightening of the white man's thinking is sound and essential for the achievement of this purpose. Hence one must, as aforesaid, sharpen one's wits through developing a higher reason and understanding as a means of fighting what Klassen called the Rahoa against the evil tide of the dark forces and their earthly representatives Jewry and their affiliates. The disinformation agents of the conspiracy, they whose role and purpose it is to cloud the light of truth with lies and irrelevant information, are funded or voluntarily contribute to this ongoing campaign of semantic and informational fog, generating a perpetual haze of grey mist and employing their gaslights to deceive and abuse the minds of the masses. They thus must be exposed and their agendas revealed for what they are in truth, and only then can the white man ensure he is not sidetracked and led down broad and winding roads of falsehood toward his destruction and failure to attain the survival, expansion and advancement of the white race and the white race alone. The conspiracy theorists who perpetually disseminate their theories are usually conscripted from the Jewish cabal and their Masonic affiliates to play these roles and are put forth amongst the.